foundational tools to develop a biblical worldview. Welcome to Mentoring Matters, a listener-supported program of SharonHearts.org. With the world's culture invading the church, it is vital that we establish some deeper roots in biblical truth in order to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So join us now as we let the Word of God give us foundational tools to develop and maintain a biblical worldview. Hi, this is Sharon Hoskins.
And this is Janie Ratzloff.
Okay, Janie, in order for us to grow up in Christ, there's some foundational truths that we need to know, right?
Yes.
And so one of the main foundational truths that Paul teaches us is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. It says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified."
Paul had at his heart the central theme that was at God Almighty's heart. So no matter what issue Paul was addressing, if it was to unbelievers, if it was one thing, if it was to believers who wanted to go back and stay under the law, mm-hmm. it was another thing. It was another book when he was saying, quit being babies and grow up. And
right.
That was another issue. But Paul was always addressing the cross as the final and primary focus, no matter what other issues he was teaching.
Okay.
And
so it's really all about the cross.
It really is. And then somebody may come in and say, okay, now what are you doing? You're just hobby horsing on the cross. It's a balance in Scripture. I would agree with the latter part. Yes, we need a balance in Scripture. But when from Genesis to Revelation, the Lamb of God is made known, the cross is made known even in the Old Testament, but the way that it worked has been hidden in certain aspects because the church is a part of really living the cross, and the church was not seen as the church in the Old Testament.
Oh, okay.
But the theme is there, the bloodline running mm-hmm. from Genesis to Revelation.
Okay.
But if you wrongly divide the Word of God, then you'll come up with not knowing where to put the right people at the right time for the right purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And just to tell you, I have two books at the house. One says, Rightly Dividing the Word of God by one author. The other book says, Wrongly Dividing the Word of God. And they have duplicate fronts and duplicate scriptures to prove the opposite point. So that causes us to say we really do need to be knowing how the Spirit wants to lead us and not getting into any intellectual interpreting the Scriptures. And Sharon, as we grow in grace and knowledge, we need to give each other to recognize we may see things a little differently than what we did 20 or 30 years ago. And hopefully we will.
As we grow. Right.
And when we don't always agree with the person, because when I've read both of these books, I'm thinking, you know, I could see arguing it that way. I could see arguing it the other way. I know the way that I'm convicted of using the Scriptures. But that has been a learning process over decades and decades. And so we need to always give the person who's growing the freedom to being set apart and sanctified in their growth process.
So this is why Paul says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because he's not getting into intellectual conversations. He's not getting into opinions. He's not getting into debates over who's right and who's wrong. He's saying, hey, whatever Jesus says, that's it.
So by faith, and that's what from Genesis to Revelations, the just must live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's not faith that I can muster up. It's he's given us the gift of faith. That's in Ephesians mm-hmm. 2. It's a gift of God that we can accept what he's already done for us.
Right. Right. Okay.
So Paul spent a lot of time at Corinth tearing down the misbelief of the pride and ego that man had tried to figure out the plan of God. And God said, I've already got a plan. If you'll just listen to me, I'll show
right,
you.
Right.
And with that in mind, let's see how he wants to show us about the plan by going to the last book of the Bible, Revelation.
Okay.
Okay. And I can't tell you how many people say, Janie, don't talk to me about Revelation. I can't understand it. The word says the revelation of Jesus Christ, the person which God gave him to show his servant things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel or his messenger to his servant John. Now, I love blessings. And in Revelation 1, the promise in verse 3 is, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keeps those things which are written in it, for the time is near. The enemy keeps many people fearful of the study of Revelation, which is in direct opposition to the command to read and know to receive a special blessing.
Right.
So can you see where fear of the unknown, fear of what doesn't appear to be logical, can keep you from a blessing of understanding the person of Jesus Christ? And basically, Revelation is revealing the plan and the purpose for all of eternity in a person and how he wants to execute it. But because we can't understand judgment and we don't understand how he is dealing with people in different timelines, we just close the book and say it's too difficult.
Well, that's kind of a scary thought that we have to understand when we had to have faith to even come to salvation. So it's almost like we have this attitude in Christian society that we have to have faith to come to salvation, but for anything else, Lord, we'll just do it on our own, right?
Well, that was the problem with several different churches. And that's why Paul has all of his epistles when he says, please follow after my gospel. Now, Paul wasn't trying to be one-upsmanship. He didn't have a big ego, but he had been given the commission from Almighty God to bring the gospel to the times that he lived in and for, and here's a verse I love, forever and ever. So in Revelation, in verse 8, the red letters, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and was and is to come, the Almighty. Now, who was and is to come? Sharon, he's got the bases eternally covered from before Genesis and after Revelation. It's already in the Alpha and the Omega. And then that was in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. And then he comes back and says again, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And that is why I personally so enjoy constantly going back and reading Revelations 2 and 3, where he showed you what he wanted from us in the different timelines and what the rewards would be. And then I've got to make a confession. When I used to read that decades ago and I saw the rewards, he said, I'll give you a stone with your own name on it, or I'll give you something new.
A new name.
And I'm thinking, Lord, couldn't we get something a little juicier? And then I realized that what was important to me as a reward was temporal motivated, and I did not understand the mind of Christ and what's important to Him. I don't know what that special name is, but Sharon, you will have a special name that no one else ever that was born will share. It will be your unique name between you and Father God. And name has to do with character. I'm excited to see what your name will be. And the names won't be failure. The names won't be loser. It'll be something that will honor the character and Almighty God. So what a lesson for us to learn to start to think eternally minded now.
Right.
Why we are still living in a temporal time and space world.
Well, and, you know, time, when we look at Revelation, it was written in the past about the future.
Yeah, it's already history.
So that's a little odd to us, too, I think.
Well, yeah, but listen, stop and think about the comfort. How can I get upset when what I'm worrying about today has already been done yesterday or sometime in the past? It's already covered.
Right.
But you have to get quiet enough to let the mind focus on the magnitude of what that is. And when you really get quiet enough, you cannot wrap your mind around the greatness of what that little sentence is saying.
And that's why we must walk by faith. And that's why Mentoring Matters. Mentoring Matters is a listener-supported discipleship program of Sharon Hart's ministry. Join a community seeking to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, with resource materials available for the journey at sharonhearts.org. That's SHARIN hearts.org.